scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, happy Friday. Welcome to another Friday edition of Flames Talk. It is Friday, May 9th, and with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, my name is Pat Steinberg. We are underway from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Friday. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully you've had yourself a great week so far as we say hello to Mr. Gilbertson. Hello, Wes.
Hey, buddy. How are you today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm looking forward to this hour. This hour, we came up with this early this week.
Yeah, we've been cooking this up for a while.
And so it's been on my mind. On Monday, when you and I were plotting out Monday's show and also kind of the week and some of the topics we might tackle this week on Flames Talk, we were like, why don't we do, like, at some point, a full hour and just do our top prospects? And I thought, you know what? That's a really good idea, and it seems like a really good Friday idea.
Noteworthy, because you don't say that to me very often.
No, usually I just say no. And but this time, actually, you come up with good ideas that I typically do say, oh, that's a good idea, let's do that, because I don't always have ideas, and Wes is an idea man. So I'm very, very grateful for Wes's ideas. And I'm looking forward. So what we've decided to do is each Wes and I have come up with our top 10 prospects. And then maybe at the end, we'll do a little bit of a ranking and amalgamate them for social media in terms of what the Flames Talk top 10 prospects are. Text lines open if you're listening live at 960-960. We'd love to hear from you. Agree, disagree. Players that we should have had, higher players we should have had on our list. I mean, the good news before we dive in, as we put together our top 10 Flames prospects, the good news is that I think for both of us, it was difficult to narrow it down to 10. And you feel bad about some of the guys that don't make the list. I know I certainly am. Yeah. Like, oh, I would have liked player X or player Y to make my list, and they didn't.
I have 16 names still scribbled down.
Really?
Now, you know, I have a list, but I got a bunch off on the side where I was like, what about this guy?
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I'm like, can I? And then I was like, oh, I really want to make sure this guy's got to get in, but where do I put him? And yeah, it was a fun exercise to do over the last couple of hours. Here's our criteria. This is what defines players eligible for this very prestigious list, and what doesn't. Got to be less than 25 years old, so under 25. And under 25 NHL games played. So less than 25 NHL games played is part one of the criteria, and under the age of 25 is part two. So that eliminated the likes of Adam Klapka, who is at 37 NHL games, Dustin Wolf, Connor Zeri, Matt Coronato, all not eligible for this list because they're either older than 25 or have more than 25 NHL games to their names. So if you're wondering where certain players, like, how did you not have Dustin Wolf on your list? Well, Dustin, we just spoke on Thursday's program about giving Dustin Wolf an 8 year, $65 million contract. Yes. So I don't think he's a prospect
anymore.
He
has graduated from the prospect ranks.
Connor Zeri's basically had two full NHL seasons back to back. Matt Coronato just got a 7 year contract extension. These guys, Adam Klapka would be the closest one to being a prospect, but he's got three full years in the American League under his belt. So we're going to start at one and just kind of work our way down. And you know, it probably isn't going to be a straight linear thing, because if I've got someone number two and Wes has him at number five, vice versa, We'll kind of just go back and forth. One thing that I know we won't go back and forth on is who our number one prospect is. So without further ado, let's get in. It is your 2025 Flames Talk Top 10 Prospects. Steinberg and Wes underway. Text line open at 960-960. Number one is without a doubt Zane Parekh. Look, it's without question Calgary's ninth overall selection from the most recent draft, who made his NHL debut at the end of the season, just finished playing a couple pre-tournament games at the World Championship. By the way, there's no controversy here. it was always part of the plan for Parekh to play pre-tournament games only and then make his way back. That was what the Flames were wanting to see because they want Zane to get to work on his off-season training plan, and was also what Hockey Canada had communicated to the Calgary Flames. Zane Parekh did not get cut. There is no there's no slap in the face. Yes. It was not a tryout. So I just wanted to also put that out there. No controversy with Parekh being done with Team Canada at the World Championship. This was always what the plan was.
I've heard a little, this is just going to add fuel to his fire. There's lots of fuel in that fire, but Zane Parekh was not cut from this edition of Team Canada.
But he is the number one Flames prospect. And there's it really is Zane Parekh in a tier with Dustin Wolfe having graduated, with Matt Coronato having graduated. I mean, Zane Parekh, in my eyes anyway, with no disrespect to anybody else in the Flames system, he's kind of in a league or a tier of his own right now.
Yeah, and I would go one step further and say you'd have to go a bunch of years back for the last time I was this excited about a Flames prospect. I think it would have to be Matthew Tkachuk, and quite frankly, it might even predate Matthew. Like, I'm just so intrigued by Zane Parekh, by the skill set, by obviously the things he's done at the lower levels. Like, in my years on the Flames beat, I don't think I'd mentioned Bobby Orr in a story until this season. Like, you just don't tie a record. You don't become the second person in history behind Bobby Orr to do something.
Yep.
And so, you know, we don't need to talk till we're blue in the face about Zane Parekh because everyone knows why he's the Flames' top prospect. But I got to tell you, I'm really excited to see where this thing goes.
I honestly think you've got one of your... Is it a sure thing? Of course not. But I really feel confident and more than just cautiously optimistic that the Flames have one of their cornerstone pieces going forward. Mm-hmm. And what they're going to need to do as they try to become a cup contender is find kind of their new core and their true... The last time the Flames had kind of that core group that you could really, you know, it was, you know, I guess Johnny and Matthew was the last time, and Monahan would be the last time. And before that, like, it was kind of the Iginla, Kiprusoff, Fanouf days before the Dion train kind of went off the tracks a little bit. And so for Craig Conroy's vision to get to where he wants it to get to, and that is obviously winning a Stanley Cup, but just returning to being more than a team that scraps into the final one or two playoff spots. Like, they want this team to be a true factor for 4, 5, 6 years in a row. And to do that, you need to have 2, 3, 4 cornerstone pieces. Mm-hmm. And I think in Dustin Wolfe, they've got a cornerstone piece. They need to find a cornerstone center. There is without question that until they do that, getting to where they want to go is probably not going to happen. But you also still need to find another cornerstone piece or two. And if you can get one on the blue line, then I think you're like take a look at the team, like whether it's Makar in Colorado or Haskinen in Dallas or
Hughes in Vancouver,
so on and so forth. Doughty when the Kings were winning their Stanley Cups. I think that's, I really am more than just cautiously optimistic. That's what Parekh could be.
Because when you throw those names out there to people who have followed this game for a long time and who have worked in this game for a long time, they don't tell you you're nuts. You mention Quinn Hughes and they say, yeah, well, here's a comparison that I see. Here's one way he is like Quinn Hughes. You mention Cale Makar. And it's always, don't get me wrong, it's always with a side dish of a long way to go, but you don't hear... Every once in a while, you'll be in conversation with somebody and you throw a prospect's name out and they'll say, no, that comparable makes no sense. That it's just, and here's the reason, that person doesn't skate well enough to hit this goal, or that person doesn't have you know, it doesn't rate highly enough in this category. When you mention, well, could Zane Parekh be a guy like Quinn Hughes? You don't get a ton of protest. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not a sure thing, but this is the sort of caliber of prospect that this organization just has not had in a very long time.
Okay. So that's the boring stuff.
Yeah, let's get to the debate part.
So, Wes Gilbertson, you go first. Who do you have as your number two Calgary Flames prospect? If Zane Parekh was the easy layup, gimme, empty netter, who is number two?
My number two prospect, and I started hemming and hawing right here, but my number two prospect is Hunter Brustevich. Okay. And I don't know that I would have said that as recently as 6 weeks ago, but I just, the last couple times, and those who listen regularly, and thank you to those who do, you've heard me say that, you know, the first few times I watched Hunter Brustevich in the AHL this year, he looked a little overwhelmed at times. And I don't even say that as a critique, just as a gauge of, hey, this is going to take a little bit of time at the pro level. And yet, the couple of times I saw him toward the end of the season, I was really impressed. And then, I know game 82 didn't matter to the LA Kings, but I did not see anything that night that didn't lead me to believe that Hunter Brustevich can be the kind of guy who plays whatever 100 number of games at the NHL level. I think in Hunter Brustevich, you have, in addition to Zane Parekh, a guy who's going to be a top four rock. And it only piques my interest that when I was chatting most recently with Ray Edwards, the Flames director of player development, he told me, you know the guy I always think of when I watch Brustevich?
Is it the same guy Craig Conroy told us is the guy he thinks of?
I can't remember who Craig said.
Who did Ray say?
Rasmus Anderson.
That's who Connie said, yep.
That the poise and the ability to just sort of dictate the pace and the sort of calm when it seems like, you know, the meme with the fire everywhere and just the calm in the middle.
This,
like,
is fine.
Yeah, that's what they see in Hunter Brustevich. And for that reason, and there's a whole bunch of guys on this list that I'm really intrigued by, but I just think Hunter Brustevich is one of those guys who's going to be a really steady, really capable top four defenseman for a long time.
So Hunter Brustevich is my number three prospect.
Okay.
So I wasn't sure where you were going to go with number two. The reason why I don't have him number two, and the reason why I have this player ahead of him, is because I see the ceiling a little bit higher with this player.
Okay.
And that's Matvei Gridin. I think that we're talking about a potential impact scorer at the NHL level.
Let me interrupt you for half a second, yeah, to tell you that I have Matvei Gridin at number three.
Okay, and so we're like our top.
We're in the same ballpark.
Similar.
Yeah.
So I think Gridin just had an incredible season in, mm-hmm, his first year playing in the Q. Had 79 points in 56 games, 36 goal score, and he translated his game from the USHL to the Q very, very well. With,
named, by the way, the offensive rookie of the year in the Q earlier, yeah, today.
And, yeah, and honestly, like, is eligible to play in the American League next year because he was not drafted out of the CHL, even though he played in the CHL this year. I think Gridin could be playing AHL hockey with the Wranglers next year. I think it might be the way to go. Mm-hmm. They thought about putting him in the AHL this year, but decided when they finally found a team.
Which would have been crazy, by the way.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
It was just until a trade happened in the Q.
Yeah.
The team that took him in the CHL import draft was not the team the Flames were hoping for.
Right.
So they wanted,
threats gave them some leverage.
Exactly. And then the trade happened. He went to Shawinigan, and shout out former Prime Minister Jean Chrétien. I'm pretty sure that was his spot. That's all my politics that I've got for you today. But like, yeah, look, Stephen Harper was Calgary. Jean Chrétien was Shawinigan.
Okay.
I don't know where the former prime, the last prime minister, where his riding was.
It, you know, really, if there was ever a case for us to go live on location from the G7, it would be right now.
I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Art,
can you set that up?
Very credible.
Yeah.
So I think that this guy translates to a higher impact role at the highest level compared to Brstevich, which is why I have them swapped. Like, I think
Brstevich, and that's fair.
I think Brstevich is going to play, absolutely. And I think that he's going to be a guy who, you know, your second or third pair right side D and some number two power play minutes, especially on this team, because Parekh, if everything goes according to plan, is your number one right side D and your power play quarterback. And then if you could have Brstevich as kind of that number two or three right side D long term, and also get him to be a guy that can help out on that number two power play unit, I think you're kind of like, you know, take a look at what a guy like Nurse has turned into in Edmonton. He's kind of that number two power play guy behind Bouchard. That's kind of where I see the role, not comparing the players' roles only, but that's kind of where I see Brstevich is kind of that number two power play guy. And so I see Gridden as being a top six winger. I see Gridden as being a guy that can translate his offense to the NHL and maybe in a little bit more of a higher leverage role. So that's why I had him ahead of Brstevich.
And that's fair. I think my number two prospect in Brstevich is maybe limited in the future in terms of usage by our number one prospect in Zane Parekh. And so I would not argue with your sort of ceiling on Matvei Gridden, that this is a guy who can be a top six winger. You know, there was a clip for anyone on social media, they'll know immediately what I'm talking about. There was a clip of Gridden scoring a shorthanded goal earlier this season where he makes it look like the guy chasing him forgot to tie his skates up. Like, he absolutely leaves him in his dust. Really good finish, super cheeky celebration. And I watched that and I actually texted someone in the Flames organization at the time, and I knew Gridden could wheel, but I texted someone and said, I had no idea he was that fast. And for a team that has for so long lacked speed in sort of skill spots, obviously Johnny Gaudreau had that, but like so often this Flames organization, their more dangerous offensive guys have not been fleet of foot, right? It wasn't Sean Monahan's strength. It wasn't Matthew Tkachuk, I'm sorry, strength. It isn't Matt Coronado's strength, although he's gotten better at it. Like, this is a natural burner, and that, while I have him at three instead of two, that's what I think makes Matvei Gridden such an exciting prospect for this organization is, this is not I'm sure she'll have some tips for him, but this is not a project for Flames skating coach Danielle Fujita. Like, this guy can go already.
Yeah. Okay, so our top three are all, like, same players, different order. Parekh, Brstevich, Gridden for Wes. It's Parekh, Gridden, Brstevich for me.
Hit me with your number four.
The way I put these together is the ceiling or the potential high end weighed a lot into it for me. And that's why I have Idar Suniyev as my number four prospect. Cause I think that if Suniyev hits, and I don't know what the chances are or like what the probabilities are that he gets there, but if Suniyev hits, I think you're talking about a really interesting power forward who has got a high end NHL caliber shot, like not just an NHL caliber shot, like an NHL high end shot, an outside threat, a guy that can score from distance, who's got a frame that can do things that a lot of other players, a lot of other forwards in the organization don't do. And that's why I bumped Suniyev up to number four on my list. And that's probably higher than a lot of other people have him. A lot of other, you know, when I was going through some of the other prospects rankings, a lot of people had Suniyev lower than that. Mm-hmm. But two really good years at UMass.
Yeah.
Great shot, an NHL frame, and a guy that I think is just going to get better and better as he grows into that frame. So I went Suniev as my four prospect.
I struggled with whether to put Suniev in my top 10, which I think says more about the depth of the Flames prospect pool than it does about Suniev. And you know, I'm always really cautious about how I'm going to present something when it's based on too small a sample size. We haven't seen a lot of Suniev. In game 82, the skating was a real concern for me. It's pretty clunky still. He's not a guy who accelerates at an NHL rate. And I say this like everyone's going to say, well, why is he crapping all over Suniev? And I don't mean to be, but that's why I don't have him higher on the list.
Where do you have him?
Ninth. Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Like the shot, I remember his head coach with the Penticton V's, and I'm now drawing a blank. Fred Harbinger.
Harbinger.
Fred is that Harbison? Right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Fred Harbinson. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific guy.
Wanted to make sure that I got it right.
Yeah. And I wanted
Harbinger.
To...
Harbinger is a word in the English dictionary. Harbinson is Fred Harbinson.
Okay. My apologies. So I remember talking.
If I didn't know that, Ryan Pinder would disown.
Yeah. I remember talking to
Tickton Pinder
to Fred right after the draft, and he said this kid. And there's a lot of work to do, but this kid shoots it at an NHL level right now. You could put his shot in an NHL practice tomorrow and you'd be like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. And so that's the biggest thing Suniev has going for him. I just, for him to climb my prospect ranking and ultimately to be an impact guy at the NHL, the skating is going to have to catch up to the rest of the skill set. I don't think you're arguing that. It's just, it kept me from bumping him up my
fair.
List a little bit.
And that's very fair. I if it hits, I just think Suniev has got the potential to be more of an impact maker than some of the other guys that we could be talking about on this list. And that's why he's higher
perfectly
on my
fair.
List than some others. Okay, so you have him at 9. I have him at 4. Who do you have at 4?
I have Sam Honzek at 4. And I think as I went through this process, every time I wanted to maybe bump Sam Honzek down a peg or two, just because I'm still not sure exactly what it ends up looking like at the NHL level, every time I thought about knocking him down a peg, I thought about the size he already has. I thought about the speed that he has, especially for a guy his size. Like at 6'4", he moves quite well. And I thought about the fact that he just finished his first pro season. He's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have watched shifts of Sam Honzek. And obviously we all saw the preseason and the training camp performance he had. But just through this season, I've watched shifts of Sam Honzek where he throws two hits and uses his speed. And he's really... you know, strong on his puck protection. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, this guy has everything it's going to take to be a power forward in the NHL. And then it'll be another 30 minutes before I see a shift like that. And while maybe my first instinct is to dock him, so to speak, some points for that exact thing and for the fact that the production wasn't what you wanted it to be in his first pro season. I just think the reason I have Sam Honzek so high is because all the tools are there to be an impact guy at the NHL level. Am I worried about the durability? Absolutely. Am I waiting on the consistency? Yes. But the reason I have Honzek at number 4 is just that toolbox has so much in it.
And that's why he's my number five prospect.
Okay.
So Hanzek is your four. He's my five. The only one that like has differed greatly has been Suniev, who I have four and you have nine.
Yeah.
The reason why I've got Suniev ahead of Hanzek, for instance, is because, again, I think Hanzek translates to a middle six guy. I don't know if I see him. What keeps him, what puts him in my top five is the ability to play center, perhaps, the ability to play all the forward positions, and also the NHL frame. Again, this is a guy that as he continues to mature as a human, I think that with his overall frame, I think that there can be some real potential there. So I'm a big Hanzek fan. I just think Suniev, if he hits, can be a top six winger potentially. Yeah. Whereas I see Hanzek being more of a middle six forward again, if he hits, but again, that's pretty close with those two guys. So,
and two guys that, you know, Suniev has played a lot of right wing. He's a left shot, but two guys who are probably going to wind up fighting for the same spot on the depth chart sooner than later. That does not mean there's not room for both of them, but you know, with the guys already on the NHL payroll, I just think those two guys are probably going to be jockeying for a spot.
Could be. Okay, so then who's your number five?
Another guy who I'd throw in that jockeying, and I think I am more keen on this guy than many, and so you might not have him nearly this high, but I have William Stromgren at my number five spot.
Interesting. He is not in my
not on your list? No. Okay. And fair enough. I mean, we're talking about a guy who had two goals in his last 30-ish games of the AHL season. We're talking about a guy who certainly heads into the offseason on a bit of a sour note, and yet, I guess sort of similar to Hanzek for me, the tools are all there. And I think one of the reasons, you know, I talked to William Stromgren, and for anyone who's interested in him, please seek this out on the Post Media sites. I wrote a story about William Stromgren a couple weeks ago, and it was based on my conversation with him at Wrangler's Exit Day when he basically dumped on the season that he had. And he said, I need to be pissed off that I didn't do more to give myself an opportunity to play in the NHL. And he talked, and you could tell he'd just been in his exit meeting. He circled back over and over and over again to stress that he needs to be a guy who goes and gets pucks back, that he can't wait for the puck to come to him. And I don't know if he can turn that talk into walk, because he's a guy who hasn't yet. And when I look at it and, you know, look at the production in his first two seasons in North America, which has been fine, right? He hasn't blown anybody away, but the numbers aren't bad there. He was second on the Wranglers and first, in fact, among forwards this season in assists. So the offensive tools are there. He's 6'3". He's a good skater. Still only 21.
Yep.
He's always going to be outrunning the fact that the Sea of Red would rather, and understandably so, would rather have Logan Stankoven in that spot, right? That's always going to be something that William Stromgren has no control over, is that he went two picks before Stankoven. But if he can take some of those things that he talked about on exit day, and he can take the things that he said he's learned from Matt Coronato being ready for his opportunities and Michael Backlund's work ethic, and if he can combine those with his skills, I really do think, I believe the sky for him is pretty high. I just think his skill set and the size that he can play with and the speed that he can do it at has the potential to make him a really impactful guy.
Yeah, and I think maybe some recency bias. God, because he's definitely just on the outside of my top 10. I think some recency bias got into it with Stromgren, because coming into this season, there was a lot of, like, he was kind of like next up or one of the next up guys to get a shot.
And there's a guy that I'm sure you're about to get to who's not on my list. Like, we're not criticizing the guys who aren't on there. This would have been a really easy exercise 4 years ago. I think it's hard to crack this 10 all of a sudden.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think the fact that, I mean, he still had a very productive year in the American League, but the production kind of waned as the year went along. I know that the happiness with his play started high and dropped as the year went along. And I think that that played into, because coming into this year, I remember being in Penticton with the other Flames Talk host. His name escapes me. But
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, Pitbull, that's his name. Being in Penticton with Vix and talking to Craig Conroy, and, you know, he called Stromgren like the most improved player from the year before. And a guy, they were like, we really think that this guy has earned the opportunity to maybe be next. And then, you know, training camp was good start to the American League year, then dropped. But then at the end of the year, when they recalled two forwards and gave them their NHL debut, it was Suni Evan-Morton. It wasn't Stromgren. And I think midway through the season, had they been making that type of decision, Stromgren would have been there. And he kind of played himself out of that opportunity.
You and I heard the same thing. And I know that because we talked about it off air. When Rory Cairns was called up in January, there was some internal debate about whether it would be him or Stromgren.
Yeah.
Like, that's where William Stromgren was on the potential call-up list. He played his way out of that spot. He played his way out of making his NHL debut. Again, if you're interested in him, please go read his comments from Wrangler's Exit Day. It's really interesting stuff. I'll share it later. I'm fascinated. If he doesn't put the pieces together, it's not going to be because he was short on skill somewhere.
Yep.
It's up to him now.
So we are halfway through. Here's what we got so far. Wes Gilbertson, top five prospects for the Flames. Our Flames Talk top 10 prospects. Number one, Zane Parekh. Number two, Hunter Brustevich. Number three, Matvei Gryden. Number four, Sam Hanzek. Number five, William Stromgren. That is Wes Gilbertson's list. My list, number one, Zane Parekh. Number two, Matvei Gryden. Number three, Hunter Brustevich. Number four, Idar Suniev. And number five, Sam Hanzek. We'll continue along as we continue. Steinberg, Wes, this hour of Flames Talk is coming at you on a Friday. And if you can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows, Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest episodes and newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Home Town, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Steinberg and Wes along with you as we continue along. It is our top 10 Flames Talk prospects. I don't know what I was trying to say. Prospects. Welcome back. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. To recap, Zane Parekh is our number one prospect. Wes has Parekh, Brustevich, Gryden, Hanzek, Stromgren as his top five. I have Parekh, Gryden, Brustevich, Suniev, Hanzek as my top five prospects. Let's round out the top 10, pal.
All right. Hit me. Who's your number six?
Etienne Morin is number six on my list.
Moi aussi?
Oh, très bien, mon ami. I think he would have been higher on this list coming out of the 2023 draft. Then he had a rough draft plus 1 year with the Moncton Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
I think got a bit of a message sent to him last summer by the organization, like, hey, we need
more
you.
Than a bit.
Yeah. We step it up is kind of like, we need you to take some steps. And I think he took some steps. The points bounced back in a big way in Moncton. On top of that, you talk to anybody in the organization, the all-round game really took a step up. And the other thing that makes it a little easier for me to slot him ahead of some other guys on defense is that he is a left shot. And I think that there is, well, I don't think, we all know that there is more of a need for a left shot in the organization. So we both have Morin at number six.
Yeah, what sticks out to me with Etienne Morin and why I think some are sort of underrating him and his potential is that he crosses me right now as the Flames' most well-rounded defense prospect. In terms of his game being closest to ready at both ends of the ice, I think this is a guy that maybe deserves a little bit more attention than he's getting. And you know, he did get a strong message from the Flames organization, whether you want to say that was in the summer or in the fall. When you're a second round pick attending your second NHL camp, having signed your entry level deal, and they send you back to junior without suiting up for a preseason game, that's a pretty strong message. And the message to Etienne Morin was that he needed to find a different level in his preparation, that he needed to, whether it was a case of work or execution or whatever it was, you know, the message was that his off-season results had underwhelmed them. And I had a conversation about him a few days ago and have heard nothing but great things about how he's responded. They've loved the way he's played on the ice. They've loved the reports from Moncton about the way he's dedicated himself to the off-ice portion of it. And they love the fact that he's going to be playing in the Memorial Cup. Mm-hmm. The QMJHL final, which is just starting, is Rimouski and Moran's Moncton Wildcats. Yep. And with Rimouski hosting the Memorial Cup, both of those teams have now clinched a spot.
Yep.
And so that big game experience is just invaluable. The Flames place so much value on that sort of stuff. And
so that's like Moran's going to get minimum four games in the Q final, minimum three big games in the Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
That's seven more, at least, like high stakes games.
Yeah. Nothing but great news. And just even if the season ended tomorrow for him, which it won't, the fact that the reports have been so positive after the message sent, I think makes him easy for both of us to have at this spot on the list.
Who's next at number seven?
For me, it's Rory Cairns. And I grappled. Do you have Rory on your list?
Yeah, he's at number eight.
Number eight. Okay.
And I grappled with it too. I'm like, and it was kind of
grappled in which direction? Because I grappled with actually having him higher.
I grappled with having him lower.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that Cairns just put up these great numbers in the American League this year. And you know, what actually was impressive is that it started well, kind of dropped off a little bit, then ended really well, which I think is a really good sign that he was able to kind of shake a bit of a lull in the season. And I know he had 3 points in however, what, did he play five NHL games when it was all said and done?
4 points. Yeah.
4 points in five games?
Yeah. All assists.
All assists. I just don't know if I don't know if the pace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the frame. I still don't know if it translates to the NHL, but it might. So he had to be in my top 10. Mm-hmm. It might, but I don't have the same confidence that it translates to the highest level at the same extent I do with Gridden or Suniev or Hanzek, who are higher amongst forwards on this ranking.
The thing that I keep going back to, and the reason that I grappled with putting him a little bit higher, because everything that you just said is accurate. You wonder how the pace is going to translate. You wonder how the size is going to work. You wonder, despite some significant gains in his skating already, you wonder how much better it can get. 4 points in five NHL games is the part I couldn't get around.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you can go back and say, well, yeah, you know, he sort of has, this is going to sound really rude, but he has the makings of a tweener. You know, he has all those traits of guys who can tear up the AHL and maybe can't do it at the NHL. Because there's just one little question about some of those tweeners. And in Rory's case, it could be either his size or his quickness. And yet, I saw a guy who, in most of his five-game audition, made his line mates better. We're not talking about a guy who was put in his debut on Nazem Kadri's wing and, you know, picked up some sort of cheap points. Like, I know he played with Pelche. I believe it was Pelche and Sharon Govich.
Yes.
And I thought he made those guys better. And as we went through this process, and I'll end it here because I know we got to keep going, but that's the part that sticks out to me is the fact that, hey, how am I supposed to sit here and say it won't translate if I've watched it start to translate? Yeah.
And I have him at 8 on my list.
Who's so 7 for you?
Muse.
Okay.
I've got Henry Muse at number 7. The numbers, it's hard to look past. When you take a look at that type of production at the OHL level, like it's hard to he had 82 points in 68 games this year.
Yeah.
The Sudbury Wolves gave up their entire team to bring him in. So because I can't get past the production. I know that in Brestevich and Parekh, there are other right side D that could be ahead of him in the organizational depth chart, but he had to be in my top 10. You don't put up 82 points. You don't go from 61 points as an 18-year-old to 82 points as a 19-year-old in one of the best junior leagues in the world and not make my top 10 list. Is basically, I have no idea how it's going to translate in the OHL. In the AHL or the NHL. I have no idea, but I couldn't look past that type of production, so he had to be in my top 10.
If you're clipping receipts, listen to this, clip it, and you know, hold it against me when Henry Muse makes me look like an idiot someday, but I don't have him in my top 10.
Wow.
And the reason that I don't have him in my top 10 is another guy that I don't have in my top 10, and that's Jeremy Poirier. And
I don't have Poirier in my top 10
either. And I just, the sort of one-dimensional side of Muse's game so far gives me a little bit of pause only when it comes to making this list. I think he has all the attributes to be a guy who can be a really good offensive defenseman and can at least hold his own in his own end. I just, now 3 years into Poirier's NHL career, led the Wranglers this season in assists, and yet he's not on the radar for an NHL call-up, and I wonder with Muse, as I sort of had him in the mix with other guys I might have had at 9 and 10, I just thought, you know, I with Parekh and Brustevich above him and with a fairly one-dimensional game, I'm not sure what his path becomes.
Okay, let's round out the top 10.
Okay.
Who do you have as your last two prospects at, I guess it'd be 8 and 10 for you?
I have Jacob Battaglia at 8.
Yep.
Idar Suniev at 9. And yep. I know you already have that. And then after backing forthing on a bunch of guys, I wound up putting Andrew Bascha at number 10.
So our final two are the same.
Okay.
Bascha and Battaglia.
Okay.
I've got Bascha 9, Battaglia 10.
Okay.
By the way, Andrew Bascha makes his return to live action on Friday night with the Medicine Hat Tigers. Also, Caden Lindstrom looks like he's going to... just what the Medicine Hat Tigers need is Bascha two and studs. Lindstrom. Just two more potential point per game plus four. Are the Medicine Hat Tigers going to win 3 Memorial Cups this year? I don't know.
Who were the two toughest for you to leave off?
Stromgren was difficult. Kuznetsov was difficult.
Yeah.
Because I really grappled with it because I think Kuznetsov can play. But I think if he plays, he's a third pair guy. So Kuznetsov, Stromgren, probably Misa. was the other guy that was tough to
Kuznetsov's a great guy to bring up, because if you ask someone, well, okay, hey, Pat, here's $100. Who are you betting on to play in the NHL, Kuznetsov or Muse? You're betting on Kuznetsov. It's a lot safer bet. The potential for Henry Muse to be a significant piece at the NHL level is still there. Mm-hmm. As you said, Kuznetsov's probably a third D. The tough ones for me were Muse. And then I wanted so badly to find a home for Carter King, because I think that there's such potential for him in a very specific role as a bottom six center who can kill penalties. I just couldn't justify, you know, Jacob Pataglia scored 40 in the OHL this year. Andrew Bascha has this buzzsaw quality that I'm so excited to see as it moves forward. I couldn't justify King above those guys.
It's fun. And maybe the guy, because I even as I was going through it, like I respect the hell out of the work a guy like Scott Wheeler does. And I'm not trying to disagree with him at all. He's got Poirier number six on his list.
Yeah.
Last thing before we wrap it up, I guess, but like, are we underrating or underselling still what Poirier could be? Or has the ship started to sail a little bit on him? Because a couple of years ago, it felt like maybe he was knocking on the door to, at the very least, get that type of look. And yet, over the last year and a half, that really hasn't been a consideration. Still had 42 points in 71 games this year.
Led the team in assists.
Led the team with 37 assists. Really started to pick up the offensive side of his game in the second half of the season. Is it a bit of a bumble by neither of us having Poirier on our top 10 list?
And maybe not to keep trying to justify not having Muse on my list, but just because of who's in front of Muse, I wonder if he does play in the NHL, if it's in Calgary or elsewhere. And maybe Jeremy Poirier eventually becomes a guy who needs a change of scenery before he gets his opportunity. And I think with the offensive guys on the right side of the Flames blue line, in Pareca and Brustevich, and obviously we know Uyghur's signed for 6 more years, those lefties could be guys like Ball and Kuznetsov who are a little more stay-at-home. I just don't know where Poirier fits in.
Yeah. All right, so here is to recap as we start to wrap up the hour. Wes Gilbertson's top 10 prospects: Parekh, Brustevich, Gridden, Hanzek, Stromgren, Morin, Cairns, Pataglia, Suniev, Bascha. That's the top 10 for Wes. Top 10 for me: Parekh, Gridden, Brustevich, Suniev, Hanzek, Morin, Muse, Cairns, Bascha, Pataglia.
Fun stuff, buddy.
That was fun. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're Craig Conroy and Ray Edwards and the rest of the hockey ops and development staff that the Flames have at their disposal, I think you can be really encouraged by where this conversation has gone in the last, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The fact that, as you mentioned, 3-4 years ago, this would have been a much less difficult exercise because the options would have been that much less plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, like, you left off Henry Muse, I left off William Stromgren, we both left off Jeremy Poirier. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to get Luke Misa in that mix because I really think that they might have something in Misa as a potential kind of bottom six center.
Jordan Siglett will be mad at both of us because we didn't mention any goalies.
I didn't know how to put the goalies in. The two Russian goalies that they've drafted the last 2 years are putting up stupid good numbers. Sergeyev is going to play in the pros next year and is coming off a really good year. I didn't know how to start thinking about the goalies.
Yeah. Fun exercise. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it on Monday again. Maybe not.
What? I'm still new to this radio thing. How do you properly segue from prospects to a gentleman who's maybe, you know, past his prime?
In Eric Francis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's our two. And I think that's all we need to say is that Eric Francis past his prime. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Shan Burgie and Cam Hughes are outstanding producers this hour. And this hour, our top 10. 10 Flames Talk prospects coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.